He will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord speaks to his disciples and his apostles today in the gospel, and he's talking to them of that a bit about the mission that they have laying ahead of them, yet that it's necessary for him to leave this life in order for them to be able to fulfill that mission, because it's only after he departs that the Holy Ghost will come down upon them, that will strengthen them, that will give them all of the tools that they need for so great a mission. Their mission, of course, is to preach the gospel throughout all of the world. Their mission is to start that church and of God and spreading it everywhere that there is man. And that tall task that lies upon these now 11 and soon to be strengthened more so, but right now 11 men who of themselves have great faults and imperfections. It's an inconceivable task that's laid upon them. Yet, with divine intervention, it'll help them. It'll strengthen them. Think about what had transpired just recently. Our Lord was put to death upon the cross, and in that time, one of them betrayed him and put himself to death. Another denied him three times, and all but one hid during the time of our Lord's crucifixion. They're terrified of that prospect of even being associated with Christ, let alone speaking freely and preaching all that he has taught them throughout the entire world. It's an overwhelming task for them. The man who is to lead their church claimed to not know him just a few weeks ago. Yet Saint Peter will go forward. He will begin to preach and convert many souls to the faith. He'll perform many miracles for the purpose of the embracing of eternity on the behalf of so many. And that gospel will spread throughout the entire world. But it has to be through divine assistance. It has to be by the aid of the Holy Ghost that they're able to do so. St. Peter didn't quite understand this yet, but God was going to help him. God was going to assist him to fill up his net with the souls of men. Today's saint very much followed in the exact same footsteps as St. Peter the Apostle did. And as such, he's aptly named for that. Today's saint is St. Peter of Verona, and he, or also known as St. Peter Martyr. And it wasn't just merely a name that they shared, but rather they shared many commonalities, including that very divine mission of gaining souls for Christ. A tall endeavor to convert thousands upon thousands that could only be accomplished through the assistance of God. And like Saint Peter, Peter of Verona has to do so with so much stacked up against him. It started actually very early on, from the very earliest parts of his life. Saint Peter of Verona was born in 1205, or thereabouts anyways, in the city of Verona and in Italy, and he was born into a family that was actually not Catholic at all. In fact, his parents at least sympathized, if not embraced, the Manichaean heresy, and all of his extended family were very devoted to this heresy. The Manichaean heresy is a heresy that seems to come back again and again upon the church. It was a heresy of dualism, kind of a Gnostic heresy, and their belief was that of that there were actually two gods. There was a good God and there's a bad God. The good God, he created all of the spiritual world, and the bad God, he was in charge and created all of the physical world. That's the basic tenets of their belief. And this was plaguing the church in a terrible way at the time of St. Peter of Verona's birth. Yet, and he was born right into that. Yet, as a young child, he showed a proclivity for learning. And so his father wanted to foster that. So he sent him off to school. But all the schools in his area were Catholic schools. But he figured, well, the learning is so important, so I'll send him there anyways. And so as St. Peter went to school, he would come back, and the teachers there would teach him little aspects of the faith. And his uncle one day stopped him as he was coming home from school and asked him, "So, Peter, what did you learn today?" Now, Peter was 7 years old at this time. And his uncle asked him, "What did you learn today?" And he said, "Well, I learned the first article of the faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." The uncle was incensed by that revelation to him. He tried to convince him, "No, you cannot say that. You cannot believe that at all. There's no way that a singular God exists, and there's no way that that one God created both heaven and earth, the physical and the spiritual." Well, Peter, in his innocence, was not having anything of it. To him, it just made sense. There's one God, and he controlled everything. And so while he couldn't argue with his uncle, he just kept repeating that same line again and again. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." Well, the uncle just kind of sent him on home and went to his father and told him, "You better take him out of school because he's learning the Catholic faith, and that's going to be a bad influence in his life." Well, the father thought, well, it's the only way he can get an education. I need to make sure that he's educated well and he learns things. And the uncle said, "Yes, but you be careful with this, because if you keep sending him to school, he's going to become a Catholic." And the father thought, "Nah, no, that won't happen." And in a moment of foreboding, the uncle predicted the future of our saint. He says that if you don't take him out of school, I fear that one day he will become older and better instructed and will at once destroy our religion. The father still was not convinced and continued to send the boy to school, eventually sending him off actually to the University of Bologna. And it was there that as a teenager studying at the university, he meets Saint Dominic, the founder of the Order of Preachers, and he's so taken by the preaching of this man, and he's so inspired by the holiness of him, that he immediately wants to follow him. And at the ripe age of 16 years old, he throws himself upon his knees before Saint Dominic and begs to enter that order, that newly started up Order of Preachers. And as he does so, the saint sees in him such a sincerity that he knows that there's no wavering in this boy and that it was truly sent him from God. And so at 16, he is allowed to enter the Dominican Order. And immediately he devotes himself to his studies in the matters of the faith, and he devotes himself to great times of prayer and of sacrifice, living a most austere life all the way through his novitiate and ultimately all the way through his entire life. And once he has finished his studies, he's ordained a priest and he's sent out to begin preaching. And at that point, his success really starts to take hold. His purpose for being created by God really starts to manifest itself. His preaching is excellent. His preaching is successful. He travels all over Italy and is tasked with not only preaching the faith, but especially going against the Manichaean heresy and fighting that very heresy that he himself had grown up with. And as he goes, he relies for himself on three primary weapons at his disposal to fight that error. First off, are the very sound explanations that he gives of the faith in his sermons. He catechizes the people. He instructs them and explains it from beginning to end, lays it out as a logical argument. And many people can't help but, you know, assent to it because it makes sense. It is the truth. They have to believe it. Secondarily, he fortifies that with devotion to Mary. He believes that everything in the way of success for his preaching will come from this one source, the mediatrix of all grace, Our Lady. And thirdly, is his charity. He has a great charity for all of those around him, even those who embrace error, even those who believe the Manichaean way. He always comes forward and shows them kindness and love. And it's only when he realizes that people are being obstinate and that they are maliciously going against the faith, it's only then that he begins to get stern with them and being forceful about the truths of the Catholic faith. But otherwise, he attracts them with the sweetness, to the sweetness of the faith, by the sweetness of his own demeanor. And as he begins to do this more and more, people start to come from far and wide just to hear him preach. And soon, there's no buildings that can contain him for when he comes to cities. More often than not, he has to actually preach outdoors because even the churches cannot contain all of the people that come to hear him. And thousands begin to convert. Thousands turn away from either sinful lives or erroneous beliefs and embrace a good Catholic life. And soon, like his namesake, people start to refer to him as an apostle. And like the apostles, St. Peter of Verona was often assisted from heaven in all of his struggles to bring more people to the faith. He is assisted by the means of extraordinary miracles. In fact, it's said that there were so many miracles worked that even just the Acta Sanctorum has 22 pages purely devoted to miracles worked by St. Peter of Verona. One such instance happened when he was preaching outdoors again because he couldn't be kept under, all the people couldn't fit under a single roof. And so he was preaching outdoors, but it was the middle of the summertime and there was a cloud in the sky and it was boiling hot. And all the people were there and to see him actually debate back and forth with a Manichaean bishop. There was a head of that whole entire area of the Manichaean faith that he was going to go back and forth with and explain the true Catholic faith to, and in an effort to convert people of that city. And so all the people were outside to witness this, and they're hearing him go back and forth with this bishop and laying out the cause of the faith so eloquently, yet they're broiling in the sun. And so, as a tactic to get the focus off of what he's saying, the Manichaean bishop looks to him and tries to change the subject a bit. And he says, you know, if your God, your singular God, really did create all of heaven and earth, and if he really does have power over the material things, then why don't you ask him to give a little bit of comfort to these people who have come to see you? They're baking in the sun. And if you do that, then maybe we'll believe in that. But otherwise, you know, you cannot convince us until you perform this miracle. Well, St. Peter said, well, fine, I'll do just that. Are you afraid that I will be able to do that? And the bishop said, of course, I'm not afraid. He looked into the sky. Everybody looked around. There wasn't a cloud in sight. And so St. Peter made the sign of the cross and invoked the one true God. And all of a sudden, in an instant, all these clouds appeared and provided cooling shade for everybody there. And they lasted all the way up to the very end of that debate. And then just as fast as they appeared, they then disappeared as everybody returned home. A great miracle that fortified the Catholics in their faith and brought many a number of Manichaeans over to the true faith. Another such instance came, as was often the case, he was called up when people saw the signs and wonders that he was able to do. He was asked to heal people. And in one such case, a man pretended to be sick. He was a Manichaean. He thought, I could trick this holy man by pretending illness. And when he goes to heal me, then I will pretend to not be healed at all. And then I'll destroy the faith of everybody that believes that the words that this guy is saying. And so as he lay there sick, he called St. Peter of Verona into his room and he says, "Why can't you, can you please help me? I'm really sick. I feel that I'm dying." Well, St. Peter had the ability to read the hearts of those around him. And so he looked at him and he knew right away that he was pretending, not because he was a bad actor, but because he could see his heart and he could see his soul and what he, exactly what his intentions were. And St. Peter looked at him and he says, "Okay, I can heal you. However, I warn you, if you are faking, you will fall gravely ill." And at that instant, the man began to have extraordinary pain in his abdomen, and he buckled over, and he began to become very ill and very sick, and he called in actual doctors to see if they could do anything. They couldn't find out what was wrong with him. They couldn't figure out what to do or what had happened to this man. And as time went on and they realized there's nothing we can do to alleviate this, perhaps you really will die. And he calls St. Peter of Verona back in, and he immediately and wholeheartedly confesses and apologizes and says that if he would heal him, he would embrace the Catholic faith. Well, St. Peter of Verona, that's all he needed to hear. He makes a sign of the cross over him, and just as fast as it came on, the illness is gone. And the man lived out the rest of his days professing the true faith of Christ. All of that success that he had, all of that work to become an apostle, it was only fitting that St. Peter in the end would ultimately meet the same fate as the apostles, that he would give his life for the truth. And that was revealed to him as well. 2 weeks before he was to die, he was preaching, and he said to the people that he was talking to, he says that right now, as we speak, people from the Manichaean era are looking to put me to death. They have, in fact, already laid down a price upon my head. But they don't realize that the good that I can do through my death and dying for Christ is far greater than any good I can do in this life. And that all they'll be doing is answering a prayer that I've prayed for every single day in my Mass for years upon years. Well, it was true. At that very moment, there were people paying two assassins to look to put him to death. And 2 weeks after that sermon that he gave, where he foretold his own death, he was walking down a pathway through the woods with a companion of his, another Dominican, a brother named Dominic. And there, those two assassins lay in wait for him. They came out of the woods, and they sprung upon St. Peter first, and they took a large sword or an axe, and they cleaved into the top of his head, and he fell down upon the ground. And as he was there, and that blow knocked him so hard that he could no longer speak, he made one last sign of the faith. He took his fingers, he dipped it in his own blood, and he wrote upon the ground, "Credo in Deum," the very first part of the Apostles' Creed, where his battle for souls began so long ago at his birth. It ended in that same point, the same creed that he professed his whole life long. And as such, in seeing that, they slew him by driving a dagger through his heart, and he gave up his soul to God. Likewise, that the brother Dominic, he too was put to death for the faith. But immediately afterwards, the words of St. Peter Verona rang true, and he really did start doing more good for souls from beyond the grave. Immediately afterwards, one of the assassins, whose name was Carino, he started to have these horrible guilt over putting this man to death and saw the faith that he embraced and how willingly he laid down his life for that very point. And as such, he eventually went to the Dominican friary, confessed his sins, Of course, this was after, you know, very Italian fashion. He was arrested, put in prison, and then escaped from prison, then went to the Dominican friary, confessed his sins, and was actually brought into the Dominican order as a lay brother, where he lived the rest of his days in penance and sacrifice for, and died in the order of sanctity. And so that one conversion there was just the tip of the iceberg. Many miracles happened by the intercession of St. Peter of Verona afterwards. He was canonized 11 months after his death, the fastest canonization that ever took place in the history of the Catholic Church. And, moreover, thousands more were converted to the faith after his death. By his intercession in prayer, cities that hadn't given an inch in the days of his preaching began to one after another fall and embrace the faith again. And soon the Manichaean heresy began to disappear from Europe. We have to look for ourselves to have that firmness in our faith. St. Peter of Verona is an extraordinary example of what one man can do by adhering to the true faith and never wavering again. Now for us, we're not going to necessarily have to go out and travel the countryside and preach to throngs of people in cities standing out in the sunshine. Nor are we probably going to have somebody waiting to kill us in an alleyway later on this afternoon. However, we do have those opportunities where we can stand up for our faith. We do have those opportunities where we do sacrifice for what we believe. And the more firmly we impress it upon our hearts, the more tightly we hold it for ourselves, the more we don't just say what we know to be true, but we emulate it by our actions in our life. We live it day by day. We cause people to see that because we not only say it, but we truly believe it. We put it into practice. And no matter what comes our way, we will not waver from that. But how do we get to that point? How do we get to that firmness that we cannot be shaken in the truths of our faith? It has to start with that same thing that St. Peter of Verona did in his acts towards becoming an apostle for the faith. It starts with those prayers that we say every day. It starts with those little sacrifices we make when we have opportunity to. It starts with us simplifying things down. There's so much in the way of confusion that can come to us the more and more we get into little squabbles about minutiae of day-to-day life. But what really matters, the faith is a very simple aspect. It is really contained in our creeds. It really is contained in our catechism. So we learn it, we study it, and then we live it. And we ask God through our prayers, very simply, for the strength every day to maintain in that good fight. And we apply that simplicity to our lives. St. Peter Verona had three things: his preaching to gain souls, and then it was the Marian devotion and charity. Those second two things, devotion to Our Lady and charity to our neighbor, there's no reason that every one of us can't try to live that every day of our lives. And in that we will find our strength, and in that we will find our love of God, in that we will find that rock of love for truth. And before we know it, we have that solid foundation from which we will never waver. And our day-to-day actions will always embody those of one who truly believes. And by that, we'll gain souls for heaven, even if we don't realize it in this life. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.